news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
So you thought it was a done deal, huh? Donald Trump is still officially president, and obviously he doesn't want you to forget that. So with just 28 days left until Joe Biden is inaugurated, Trump flexed his mad muscles and kept himself in the headlines. Just Tuesday, it was expected that the lame Donald Duck would sign the coronavirus relief package that Congress managed to pass. But on Tuesday night, he finally weighed in on the deal that was 7 months in the making and which he virtually ignored while chasing fantasies about overturning a Democratic presidential election. He surreptitiously recorded a speech in the White House that was kept from most of his staff and on Tuesday evening posted it to Twitter in two pieces. The 14-minute tirade was Trump again spewing lies about how the election was stolen from him, ending with this whopper.
We won this election by a magnificent landslide, and the people of the United States know it.
No. In it, he also smeared Dominion, you know, the voting machines, while his reliable media allies, Fox, OAN, and Newsmax, are all running these lengthy disclaimers, debunking their prior coverage, blaming Dominion for what Trump alleges here.
In addition, there is the deeply troubling matter of Dominion voting systems. In just one Michigan county alone, 6,000 votes were switched from Trump to Biden. And the same system was used throughout a majority of the United States. No satisfactory explanation has been offered for why Dominion systems are able to switch votes with a mere push of a button. In Arizona, the state Senate has recently issued a subpoena for a forensic audit of the voting machines, and similar investigations must be conducted in every state using Dominion systems immediately. In Texas, they don't allow Dominion systems to be used.
Smells like a lawsuit to me. Anyway, then he posted another four-minute video, finally touching on the $900 billion coronavirus relief package just passed by Congress, calling it a disgrace, saying it was full of wasteful spending and that it failed to meet the needs of millions of Americans. And then he threatened not to sign it unless it's changed. I should mention that it's obvious that he's confusing the COVID relief bill with the $1.2 trillion omnibus spending bill, which will fund the government through the end of the fiscal year in September. But I digress. Anyway, Trump called on Congress to increase individual stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000, saying the initial figure was ridiculously low, though, of course, he didn't acknowledge that it was his Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, who proposed that amount. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi jumped on the suggestion and tweeted that Republicans had, quote, repeatedly refused to say what amount the president wanted for direct checks. At last, the president has agreed to $2,000. Let's do it. She now says she's planning to bring it to a vote on Thursday, Christmas Day, and that she hopes to pass it by unanimous consent. Keep in mind that many Democrats were pushing for that $2,000 amount initially, and not just as a one-time deal either. Bernie Sanders has been saying we should be getting $2,000 monthly. But again, to recap, Trump's team, led by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, helped negotiate the COVID relief bill deal. White House officials are on record saying Trump would sign it. After the House and Senate both passed it by huge veto-proof margins, 359 to 53 in the House, 92 to 6 in the Senate, Trump now speaks up and calls it a disgrace and demands it be amended? And as if that wasn't enough to derail any downtime for the press corps, Trump also opened the presidential pardon floodgates on Tuesday. Now, most presidents invoke their pardon power as their time in office nears the end, but the drain the swamp guy is covered in stinky muck. Among the 20 people Trump pardoned or granted clemency Tuesday are George Papadopoulos and Alex Van der Zwaan. Both were convicted of lying to Robert Mueller's team in the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election, you know, that Trump has long called a hoax. Also pardoned, three former Republican congressmen, all convicted of fraud: Duncan Hunter, Chris Collins, and Steve Stockman. There were the two Border Patrol agents convicted of shooting an undocumented immigrant and covering it up. Several people convicted of nonviolent drug crimes. But the most offensive of this group, four Blackwater guards convicted in the killing of 14 Iraqi civilians and the injuring of at least 17 more in a horrific Baghdad massacre that occurred in 2007. One of them had been sentenced to life in prison, two to 15 years, and one to just under 13 years. The Justice Department went to great lengths to prosecute them, and Trump just said that committing war crimes is fine by him. Oh yeah, and he's expected to issue more pardons in the last few weeks of his presidency. Buckle in. Meanwhile, on the split screen, President-elect Joe Biden delivered an end-of-the-year address on Tuesday, drawing quite a contrast with the current occupant of the Oval Office, promising the unvarnished truth and warning that even as the first COVID-19 vaccinations begin in the United States, Biden urged Americans to remain vigilant because public health experts say things are going to get worse before they get better.
Our darkest days in the battle against COVID are ahead of us, not behind us.
Honesty from the president. What a concept. Biden also condemned the Trump administration's lack of response to an alleged Russian cyber attack on U.S. federal agencies, saying the administration, quote, failed to prioritize cybersecurity, and adding this assault happened on Donald Trump's watch. Joe Biden also continued naming names Tuesday, this time choosing Connecticut Education Commissioner Miguel Cardona to be the next education secretary, fulfilling a promise to nominate a teacher. If the Senate confirms Cardona, he'd be in charge of delivering on Biden's plan to give more resources to public schools and make public college tuition free for families earning less than $125,000 a year. California Governor Gavin Newsom on Tuesday announced his choice to fill the Senate seat currently held by Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, California Secretary of State Alex Padilla. The son of Mexican immigrants, Padilla will be the first Latino to represent California in the Senate. That's the good news. Unfortunately, Harris was only the second Black woman to serve in the Senate, currently the only one, and with her leaving and being replaced by Padilla, that will leave no Black women currently serving in the Senate. Maybe Dianne Feinstein needs to retire and Barbara Lee could replace her. Just a thought. Israel will have its fourth election in 2 years on March 23rd. This was triggered because the Knesset, Israel's parliament, failed to meet a deadline for passing a budget, destroying an already shaky alliance between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and blue and white leader Benny Gantz. The two former rivals joined forces in April as a last resort and formed a unity government after three inconclusive elections and, of course, an ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Under that deal, Gantz would have taken over as prime minister in 11 months. That is, unless lawmakers fail to pass a budget, which is what ended up happening. But watch out what you wish for. This could ensure that Netanyahu, Israel's longest serving leader, could stay prime minister even longer. Ugh. Now on to what should have been the lead story in every newscast, if not for the grifter in chief. An average of more than 200,000 people have tested positive for the coronavirus every day for two straight weeks here in the United States. Although new cases seem to have begun leveling off, the number of Americans hospitalized and dying from the virus continues to rise. The U.S. reported more than 117,000 people hospitalized with COVID-19 on Tuesday, the most since the pandemic began. It also reported 3,400 deaths on Tuesday alone, the second highest number of COVID-19 deaths in a single day. Despite the hope offered by the arrival of vaccines, they likely won't be available to the general public until midsummer. So our fate in the near future depends, as always, on our behavior. The holidays are here. Please just stay home. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.